But I was looking again. Last week we got and talked about the need for divine revelation and things of that nature. And guess what? That doesn't change, does it? That doesn't change from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday. The message continues to go forth. And I want to touch upon just a little area there that I didn't get into. We're going to start really quick in Jeremiah 33:3. And it talked about in Jeremiah 33:3 about call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And as we get into that, I want to look at it this way. And it says that, and this is the revelation and divine revelations in our spiritual prayer in these battles. Anybody been there to a battle? God has promised Jeremiah, and you can review back as far as what God was doing with Jeremiah and the many times that God called and Jeremiah heard and God called and all of these things. God has promised Jeremiah that if he would just call to him, not only would he answer him, but he would reveal to him great and mighty things. Remember, I think that word mighty was like inaccessible things, things that we don't even see and know or even recognize at this point in time. But he would reveal to him, Jeremiah, God would reveal to Jeremiah great and mighty things that could not otherwise be known. This word mighty could be rendered isolated or inaccessible. The suggestion is that God would give Jeremiah a revelational insight, revealing the things that otherwise would be inaccessible or isolated. And as we review things of Jeremiah and the message of what the scriptures are telling us, I need you to take this and I need you to plant this in your todays. I need you to take this understanding of God with Jeremiah and what God was going to show Jeremiah and proclaim to Jeremiah, and you need to hear God speak these things to you. Amen? He knows your tomorrows. He knows your battles. He knows the stress. He knows these situations. He knows the bad times you're in. He knows the good times you're in. Amen? Such revelational insight always has been essential for a clear understanding of a victorious spiritual warfare. One cannot pray effectively without insight into how to pray. The key to this is we've got to zero in our prayers. Now, I know God even knows before we ask what our need is, right? No surprise to God. But God is saying this to us. I want you to be specific, Tim, in what you pray to me about. Because when I answer your prayer, it's going to be specific. It's not a shotgun answer. We send up a lot of times shotgun prayers. Has anybody ever been in a shotgun prayer time? Like a rifle on like, here it is, God. There it is. Rather than be semi-automatic to where you can control the rounds that go off. We've got to be semi or single shot in our times of prayer with God. Because God is saying, I want to hear from you the specific. And I know many of us probably have been there to do this, and I'm not saying that we've not done that. But what this is, guys, it's just we got to remind ourselves. Because sometimes when we get into a heated situation of a battle, of a distressful situation, of a hardship, of so many things seemingly to come against us, and it's just coming down the hill like, you know, water shed on a hill, we sometimes revert to, oh, pray all this stuff out, or we get ourselves lost in our prayers sometimes maybe. Revelational insight has always been essential for a clear understanding of a victorious spiritual warfare. One cannot pray effectively without insight into how to pray, as well into what things God truly longs for us to seek after in prayer. And early on, we talked about the invisible realm and those things a few weeks back, and that God is sending this information into the invisible realm. And that's where we have got to connect ourselves. We've got to plug ourselves into that invisible realm so that our spirit is continually in a download and a transforming informational back and forth with that of God. So God can tell you ahead of time and telegraph to you, don't go there, stay here, go there, don't go there, be careful here, don't go, or take a little bit more time and do this, or go a different way around the block than that way, so that I can keep you from what? Harm. This all went back, remember that Ukrainian soldier sent that text to that one person in Romania. The bullets seem to be going right by us, we don't understand it. And when we need to make a major decision about some way to react to the enemy, it works. That's God telegraphing, here's what you need to do. And God is doing that in our lives here today in America, in our lives here today at Harvesters Church. But we've got to be sensitive and we've got to be tuned in when these things hit us, because it's going to go right by you. Whew. How's it going to go right by you? Because you're not paying attention. Why are you not paying attention? Because the enemy has you doing a battle. When the enemy has you doing that battle and you're fighting, you're standing, you're saying, come on, I'm going to battle this. I'm going to take care of this. I know how to do this. Come on, God, and we're going to do this together. God, we're not going to do this together. Maybe you are, maybe not. Maybe this battle is, God says, the battle is mine. You need to step aside, and I want to hear you love me. I want to hear you praise me. And I'm going to charge, and I'm going to take out the enemy, but I want to hear from you, my son, my daughter. Thank you, Jesus. The battle is all yours. The Lord wants to do those things so that he has time to hear us, and we have time to take that time to praise him, to thank him, to worship him, to love him, to be with him. And that's what the enemy does not want, so he's going to keep you tied up into your battle. And God is sending this stuff to you, and it's passing you right by, and you wonder why you're not progressing like you should. Sometimes you wonder why it's continuing on longer than it should. Maybe we're, whatever the case is, we all have battles, you know? And again, I go through those things myself. Truly not like some, but maybe different than others, and we all have. Anybody, we all have. I can look here, we got however many people. Chances are every one of you has come out of a battle, in a battle, or a battle's coming to you. And I understand why you didn't say amen to that. Who wants to amen a battle? Woo-hoo, okay, God is good. There's a battle coming. Amen. You know, it's like, so be it. But we can learn through God's word, can't we? Through different prophets, through different men and women of the Bible. So as we look at this, and this kind of just fulfills that there of Jeremiah that I was wanting to talk about these things, about how God giving Jeremiah revelational insight, revealing. So when we look at this, it's like revelation. It's the act of revealing or communicating divine truth. And that's what God gives, right? Does God give divine truth or divine lies? Divine truth. Or it's something that is revealed by God to humans. In an act of revealing to view or making known. In this life, we've got a lot of things that we have got to be made aware of. And there's many things that we have got to hear from God. And God has to make us aware of it and show us these things in that spiritual realm to where you all of a sudden, it just hits you like, there I know what I need to do. When we look at this word revealing or communicating divine truth or something that is revealed by God to humans, revealing is this, to make known through divine inspiration. God speaks to us through what? Divine inspiration. Even as I read scripture, it's in the print form, right? It's black on white. I'm reading it. But through his scriptures becomes divine revelation. We would call that rhema. Rhema. That word, that scripture, that chapter, whatever the case, that entire book becomes real, comes alive to you. It comes alive in your situation of today or a situation that may be coming your way. So revealing, to make known through divine inspiration, to make something that is secret or hidden publicly or generally known for the very first time. When God got a hold of me and started changing things around, guess what? It was for the very first time, because he came out of left field. Has God ever come out of left field to you in your situation or what he's asked you to do, and it's like, man, that wasn't on my radar? It doesn't need to be on your radar. You know why? Because you are on God's radar. And God sees you and knows you and knows where you're at in life, knows your situation. And he sends the help. He sends the answer. He sends the direction. He sends the support. He sends his peace. He sends his comfort. Whatever it is, he knows. So there are still many things that are hidden from me. Or there's things hidden from you. But I believe as my time with my God, through his word, meditation, and prayer, and searching, and listening, and listening, and listening, and then obey. Remember what Scripture talks about? Obedience is better than what? We like to sacrifice. That's easy to do. But my God, when I've surrendered to him, and I've been obedient to him, more so than not, it's always been to where he has fulfilled his blessings to me. And yes, I've sacrificed, but I've not near sacrificed like he did with Jesus on the cross, do you think? Amen. Jesus hung on the cross, died for you, just for you, because God's love was what? Just for you and just for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've been set free. I pray today that you sense that you've been set free. I pray, Lord, right now, those in this room have that sensing in their spirit amplified more than ever before, Lord, that they know that they have been set free. Amen. Because we go through life and we go through situations and sometimes we go through these struggles and it's really easy to become unfree. Anybody been there where you become unfree? You begin to pick up things again. You allow the enemy to put more stuff on you again, little by little. And all of a sudden you're going, oh my gosh, I'm burdened down again. I'm burdened down again. Well, I've been set free. The word of God says, then when I feel these burdens and I feel weighted down, that I'm to cast these things over to him. Ladies and gentlemen, God has directed and ordained and prepared and has spoken and has told us how to make it through this life. Do you believe it? Thank God for every book in the Bible, because every book in the Bible and the scriptures that were given and the men of women that were inspired by the Holy Spirit that put these things down, it's to get us through this life, this journey that we're in, until we stand at glory. But I'm going to stand in glory even when I'm on this earth. Because the glory of Jesus, the glory of God is in this place. Amen? The glory of God is in my home. The glory of God is in my job. The glory of God is where I go, because where I go, he go with me. And where I go, he go. Again, easy peasy. Not so easy at times, is it? Because we revert back to what this life is all about. And God wants to remind us and remind us and remind us that I have taken that burden, I have taken that care. Just walk in his glory. Walk in his glory. So anyway, we get into that, and I'm jumping now into, and this is not going to take us a whole lot because we were already there about 3 weeks back, maybe. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This was back at the time when I shared about Proverbs, and we talked about how Proverbs described God, and how Proverbs in Proverbs describes in there what we are to do for God, or what we are to respond, or what we're to be like towards God. But in the very first part of that, when I was sharing, it talked about intimacy and spiritual breakthrough. God wants us to be intimate with him. Amen? Intimacy. Intimacy. Close. Facing one another. Nose to nose. It's hard to be intimate with somebody when there's miles apart or there's miles between them, and the true sense of what God is saying in intimacy is. So easily and simply what it said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. And we've been several times through this. When it talks about your paths, shall direct your paths or make smooth or make straight your paths. And God is wanting to do that for us. Amen. As we look at this, and we've already shared where it talks about this, the intimacy and spiritual warfare. And I didn't even realize that in this area of Proverbs that I was reading, that you drop into this area and it's attached there about faith's warfare. There is so much warfare in the Bible. Do you realize? Well, you probably, by a show of hands, eh? Have you seen many warfares in your life of being a Christian? Battles, battles, battles. Because whenever there's a victory, there's always something out there, the enemy, of course, the devil, always wants to come back again and again. But the more he comes back, the more you chastise him, the more you tell him to get thou behind me, get thee behind me, or whatever, get thee behind me, Satan. Eventually, I would hope he would get wore out. But he's not one that wears out, because he just wants to chew on you until you get called home. So we got to remain strong. We've got to remain faithful. We've got to be understanding that this is a warfare that we're in, but it's what? In the spiritual realm. How sad it is that we see in our day and age of a material and in the natural, a war taking place in a particular country and the atrocities that are being done. Take that and move it into a spiritual realm. And that same battle is in your, my, our lives. Someone wants to come in and take you over. Who is that someone? The devil, the enemy. He wants to sow discord. He wants to cause agitation. He wants to cause pain. He wants to cause suffering. He wants to cause breakups. He wants to cause whatever he can do to destroy your life. And we just talked about this a little bit in Sunday school as we were closing up about in the scriptures where it talks about where it shares about where he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundant. But I shared with him in Sunday school, I said, I every once in a while I reflect upon that scripture, steal, kill, and destroy. And I've always asked God, why is it processed that way? When the devil, and this is us today, and things that we hear in the spiritual, what God wants to reveal to us, make accessible the unknown to us, is that the enemy wants to steal things from you. He wants to steal your salvation. He wants to steal the plan of God that has for you. He wants to steal that from you. And if he can't steal it from you, he'll kill you. And that's probably the best thing to be. Just take me out, you know, kill me. Because I don't have to deal with the devil anymore. And then we end, and as we talked about this, think about that word destroy. And sometimes destroy is a long time. Sometimes it takes a long time to be destroyed. We destroy this or that by little by little. We destroy the Christianity in America by destroying it by one vote, one amendment at a time back in 1950, 55, 58. Those are not killing and stealing, that was destroying. Because as we see in the history of today, a lot of those things about abortions and about the sanctity of life and prayer and the Bible in school and all of these things that were of God, the devil said, well, I can't steal it or kill it, so what I'm going to do is destroy it. And I'm going to let the people live in a destroyed world. In a destroyed world. Because when you're in a destroyed world, it's miserable. Because everything is upside down. The right is wrong and the wrong is right. And the word of scriptures tells us that. Good will be called evil, evil will be called good. Seen that? Kids will turn on their parents in the last days. See that? Unrest and unrest and anarchy will rise up in the last days. Check that box. Not as near severe as it will be in the final times. So if the enemy can do nothing else but destroy you, and let it be a slow death. And that's what will happen. But if we got the Word of God, if we've got His Logos and Rhema when it hits us, when we get that power of God in us, when we read Scriptures in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct, He will make straight, He will make upright, He will be pleasing, all of these things, your path. And not just path, but it's got a plural on it, paths. So whatever God does on this path for you, He's going to do on this path. And all of a sudden, your two paths become paths. And God is going to be there. But we've got to go back to 5 and trust in the Lord with all of what? Heart. We brought up again in Sunday school at the end after that that had jumped into Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12, and 13, where God knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper, plans to succeed. If you cry out or pray to me, I will hear and listen to you. And then it goes, what? It says something about if you search me with your whole heart. Trust in the Lord with all your... God wants your heart. And when God knows he's got your heart, he knows he's got you. And when the devil knows that God's got your heart, the devil's going to try to steal it, kill it, destroy it, but he's not going to get it if you're a man or a woman of God, and the strength that you have is the strength of who in you. And that's where we get into many times. We got to get to that point that you have got to look in the mirror and realize who you are in Christ and quit thinking about yourself as just feeble, human, this, human, that, no power, no strength. Oh, Father. Well, if that's the case, why did God's word say, when you are weak, I am weak also? God says, when you are weak, that's when I am strong. When you give in to what needs to be done, that's when I come in and I take it and I go with it. For some reason, I just got a glimpse of a Forrest in Forrest Gump, got that football, ran for a touchdown, and he kept running out through the thing. He didn't even stop, man. He was like, it's like, who is that? That's like when we hand it off to God, God is going to take off and he's going. He's going to make our paths, our streets, our roads, whatever, straight. He's going to help us and be there for us. We've got to pass that off to him. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. So anyway, elsewhere in this word translated know, meaning to know by observation, investigation, reflection, or firsthand experience. This is where, in all your ways, acknowledge him. But in the highest level of this word, in a direct, intimate contact, a direct, intimate contact, acknowledging. This refers to life-giving intimacy, as in a marriage. Applied to a spiritual context, it is suggesting an intimacy with God in what? Prayer that conceives and births blessings and victories. Joined, yes, hallelujah, intimacy. It's where we get to that point of applying a spiritual context to suggest that with God in prayer and conceives and births blessings and victories. God wants to see you be an overcomer. Right? He's given us the tools to do that. Because he says, you pass me that ball, and you will overcome it. He's already overcome everything, okay? But he wants us to be an overcomer. Overcome whatever it is that's holding you back. Overcome whatever that situation is that when you think you're strong and it happens and you fall back and you do this and you do that, become an overcomer. But not on your own abilities. You come an overcomer by that of God in you, giving you that fortitude, tenacity, the strength to overcome these things in our natural life. Because it is crazy, isn't it? We're dealing with a natural life and we're dealing with a spiritual life. It's crazy, right? That's a lot to deal with. But God has a way for us to do that. But he's asking his children, but you got to trust and lean on me. Trust and obey. Lean on me, cast your cares on me. Allow me to do the battle for you. Let me be your strength. Okay, now let's go quickly into Acts 6. So we find that the disciples, they were multiplying. You know, they're finding a need to help care for the widows. It's basically what's happening is that things are growing, things are getting full, things are getting busy in the churches and and where they're speaking and the disciples. It's multiplying. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Acts 6, it says this, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. And this is just telling us, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples, and they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continual to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Nothing tops the ministry of the word of God. Amen. And sometimes we can get into our churches and we can get so many processes going on. And we've talked about this before, programs and this and that. And we get so wrapped up in all this other stuff that we only have now we can have like a 15-minute sermonette for the word of God because, we got to move on to something else, But back then they recognized this, the importance of it. And I believe today we've got to recognize that we've got to what? Be continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Amen. The early church learned quickly that their prayer had to be continuous because spiritual warfare is continuous. It doesn't stop. Right? When you come through one battle, guess what? I don't want to be a doom and gloomer type thing, but there's another battle coming. And you better be ready, better be prayed up, strengthened up, close to God. God can give you a warning about what to do, what not to do. Be ready, it's coming to Him. Or whatever the case might be. But we need to be in prayer continuously because spiritual warfare is continuous. It became their first priority because Satan sought their defeat as his first priority. Satan is what? He wants to defeat you too. That's his first priority. Take a look at yourself. Look at your neighbor. It's like we all have a bullseye on us. Satan sought their defeat as his first priority. Thus, the earliest recorded administrative decisions after Pentecost places the ministry of prayer as the highest in importance. Prayer with the word. As the church grew, circumstances required more of the apostles' time. But realizing that they needed more prayer, rather than increase activity, the apostles chose these men to serve as the deacons or care for the church. And this freed them up to focus their prayer. And it just goes to point to this, prayer and the word is the prime importance of as we are going through this life. And we've got to be careful that things in life that want to come in and take that time from us, that we're wise enough to know we need to set that aside. It's taking too much of me away from you, God. It goes on here. It was interesting, too, that for those just to wait on the tables, they had to have a lot of integrity. Think about that. That's another message there, too. But it just wasn't anybody that could come and serve. It's like, no, look at, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of, you mean you got to have the Holy Spirit to serve the food? Yep. Holy Spirit and wisdom. Anyway, we go there. What we find is that the Holy Spirit gives us God's perspective. So as we pray, I hope we are praying in that of the Holy Spirit or by that of the Spirit to where we've got to take a look at it through the eyes of God. What do you see happening, God? What do you see the battle is? What do you see for me to do? Whatever the case is, we need to see it through His eyes. His eyes are going to say, I see victory, is what God would say. I want to jump here to Romans 12. So the thing is, even when things got busy in the church, the most important thing was taking time with God, being in prayer, praying His word, sharing God's message to the people. We can't go any more away from that as far as we've got to stick with what God's word is and training up and teaching and getting people into God's word. So I want to come to Romans 12, really. starts out in 9, Romans 12, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor and giving preferences to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence, but be fervent in what? In spirit, serving the Lord. And this, verse 12, Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and then doing what? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. If we're not staying in God's, as we stay in God's Word, and we're going through Scriptures and we're reading those, and then some time comes up and we got an evening, an afternoon, whatever the case might be, it's still vitally important to do what? To be in prayer. Communion with God. All the time. All the time. Morning, noon, and night. Maybe in your times of sleeping or waking, whatever the case is. But it's to be in prayer, talking, communing, talking, listening to the things of that of God. Be patient, rejoicing in hope. Patient are persevering in tribulation. Who can be patient when you're going through tribulation? I want to get out of it, you know, as we all do. But it's also being persevering during this time of tribulation, but I'm going to continually be steadfast in that of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. It's been such a wonderful time for numbers and numbers and numbers of years now that on Wednesdays, that pastors in our community, that we get together on Wednesdays and we pray for the churches. We pray for one another's needs. We pray for our families. We pray for the church families that we're aware of going through difficult times, whatever the case might be, praying through churches that are maybe getting ready to have pastoral changes, you know, people retiring, whatever the case is. Several weeks back, there was like 3 or 4 churches in our community that had basically had like a new pastoral change, you know, and pastors coming in. So change is happening, but during our times of prayer as pastors, we pray and we seek out God and we praise Him and we worship Him and we ask for His Spirit to fall upon our churches and His anointing to be with His people and to lead the leadership and to lead the congregations, you know, bringing unity, helping us go through this thing called life at each one of our individual churches. And you think we got problems here. You ought to just go out and talk to some other churches in their bodies. You know? If you ever talk to others, you'll find out, like, really, you guys are going through a lot of this and, you know, health issues, you know, family issues, losing loved ones. It's all out there. It's all out there. But that's what the church, as we come together in our body here, we need to embrace one another and help and support one another. As our pastors in our town, as the 5 or 6 or 8 or 7 or whatever of us get together, as we join together as leadership or whatever of the city to pray over our city and to pray for God's blessings and over the country and whatever the case is that the Lord leads us to pray about by the Spirit. Amen? But it's talking about this. God wants to hear us praying, praying, praying. When all is going good, what? Pray. Thanksgiving. When everything's going bad, pray. Asking for help, strength, perseverance. Lord, help me, help me, help me. The apostles' priorities were correct when we think about this this is going back. I forgot to mention this. I'm going to step back to Acts 6:4. The apostles' priorities were correct. The ministry of the word should never be neglected due to administrative burdens. Pastors need to recognize within themselves that they should not try to do it all in a ministry, nor should the congregation expect from them, you know, the old saying, many hands make light the work, seems very fitting here right now. And I'm blessed. I am blessed. Got some fine men and women, when they step up, share the word of God. It's been fun. I've sat a few weeks back with a pastor in our pastor's group, and he was talking about where He was going to have, like, on his deacon board and some that would lead, that he thought, like, once a month or every couple of months, he would have, like, somebody in, like, on his board to share a message. And he said, it was so good. I just sat out there and allowed this gentleman to share from the pulpit. He goes, it was really neat. It's like, well, and then I thought, well, I've got possibly up to 4 to 5 people that can do that here, and we're in a small body. But it's because the Lord has impressed upon me to pull from the body, to bring people up here, to share what God has put into them and on them, and that they can share for others, right? So the other pastors are going, wow, that's a pretty neat idea. It's fun to hear from God in all different aspects, because he's dealing in all of our lives, amen? There's so much more from God that I need to hear. And I pick it up through the Waynes and the Johns and the Dougs and Linda and the ladies. Oh, I loved it when the ladies shared on the children's ministry. Terry, Dawn, and Linda. Awesome. God is moving. And God is doing. Thank you, Lord. Luke 18:1. The parable of the persistent widow. Again, we're reflecting on what? Praying, praying, praying. Jesus is speaking here. And it says, the parable of the persistent widow, 18. And then he spoke a parable to them that the men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And it goes on to talk about there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. You can read that whole thing. But it pray, pray, pray. Again, the importance of prayer. Amen. And what? Don't lose heart. The devil would like for you to lose heart after you've prayed 15, 20 times, whatever the case might be. The devil's going to sit there and say, don't you think you prayed enough for it and nothing's happened? If I were you, the devil would say, I'd just give up and figure it out. Well, it's good to go. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Say love, Eve. No, you might have to keep praying. Be persistent. Keep praying. Don't lose heart. So many times throughout the Word of God, we see these things happening. To be persistent. To knock. And do what? Keep knocking. Keep knocking. And I like it where it says, and don't just speak just words into the air. You know, don't make it think you got to have a rhyming prayer sentence to make it sound better for God to pay attention to you. Talk to God from your heart. Even if he already knows how bad it is with you, tell him how bad it is with you. You're not telling him anything new, but you're getting it off of your chest. It's almost like, you know, if you're going to go to what better counselor than that of God, amen, to share your heart with and to say, I'm having a hard time, God. I'm going through this, 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 and this. I don't think God, knowing my God, that he would say, oh, Tim, just be quiet. I already know all that. My God of love and compassion and being there, he would listen and listen. And the God of all comfort will comfort me. Father, I pray now for your comfort upon this body. I pray, Father God, that no matter what struggle, big or small, that each and every one of us may be going through at this instance, that, Father, your calmness will come and rest upon our hearts. I pray, Father God, that we, Lord, would be able to rest in you. I pray, Father God, that you would give us directions and strategies, Lord. Pray strategies to us, Lord, on things that we can do, are able to do, or look into, whatever the case might be. Well, when it's all said and done, Lord, that I place it there before you. You know my request. You know what the situation is. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, Lord. Let your will be accomplished. And let them see your will in it, Lord. Let our love continue to grow mightily and stronger day by day to you, for you, desiring more of you. I pray, Lord, right now that the enemy will not be able to continue to come in and disrupt us, create havoc within us, to create us mixed up and just going in so many different directions. I pray continuity, Lord, of just a focus upon you, Lord, and a focus upon our situation, our problem, whatever it might be. And that you give us, Lord, I pray, clarity now into our hearts, into our thoughts, into our mind right now, Lord, for the things that we are up against and that we have turned them over to you. We thank you, Father, for taking them. And I just pray now, Lord, for your answers to come forth. I pray those answers, Lord, that are in the spiritual realm, Father, be materialized into the natural so that we see your hand. And that the things that are being put against us, Lord, are removed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, right now, for that battle is yours. I pray, Lord, a peace and a rest upon each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just don't forget to look into that invisible realm to deal with the things in the physical realm. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Yeah. Oh, he's awesome. I thank you. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for serving. Thank you for allowing us all to walk this journey out together as the family of God. Pray for one another. Be with one another, you know, in prayer and conversations.